Yeah, when the global recession hits, everyone will die. Wouldn't that be nice?
It doesn't come through in an audio podcast, but like I'm just shifting my eyes back and forth like, what the fuck are you talking about?
We're streamers now, and as we all know, streamers in fact do not read. I mean, we never
know how to read. I dropped out of school to become a professional streamer years ago.
I can read at a fourth grade level, so I can still read anime subtitles, but anything above that is like, no, put a book in front of me and I'm like, this is too hard or too many. Can you add some more pictures? I like to read manga.
Sometimes subtitles will use big words that I have to like go and look up in the dictionary.
Yeah, you have to like pause. Yeah, it's annoying, honestly. You know, we need to talk. We'll have a separate stream where we need to talk about how people who translate anime and manga need to stop using big words because they bother me.
Big words like reindeer. Okay, I don't know what that is.
No.
I don't know why you would expect me to know what that is.
The only literature streamers read is their comment section. We don't even read our comments, Phil.
Listen, right, if you're big enough, that's the only literature that you need, okay? People are typing in entire novels in your comment section. You would read your comment section to the end of fucking time, and you still wouldn't read all that fucking
shit. There's a character limit for comments, right? Because I would 100% just drop the entire Bible into a comment otherwise. Insert Hemingway quote. Intelligentsia.
The intelligent version of Fantasia? Intelligentsia?
No, I think it's like a slur for people who wear glasses.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
No. I mean, we used to call them like Four Eyes, Poindexter, Square.
Well, those sound more fun.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
I don't know if you want to
200 characters. There's no way that the character limit for a YouTube comment is 200. No, I've seen comments that go way over 200 characters. And definitely not 500 characters. Yeah, like 200 characters is like a tweet.
You know, there is a way to find this out.
Copy and paste the entire Bible into a YouTube comment.
10,000 characters, according to Google.
Oh, you just Googled it. Okay. That makes more sense. That makes more sense.
Googling anyway, it? Yeah, that would make more sense.
Anyway, we should probably stop stalling and like get on with like the topic of today. So do we want to run an intro then?
Hello!
Hello and welcome to the Weeb Crew. We were told that we need to like start shouting our intros in order to get your attention because you ADHD fucks just don't want to listen to a podcast where it doesn't start off and they're not yelling!
Oh my god.
And today we're talking about the today we're talking about the news because an article dropped a couple days ago, literally on the 20th. So this is like the 22nd, should be going up on like the 23rd, maybe the 24th if I fuck up.
Funny article.
Yeah, it's a good article, honestly, you know. Discussing, and let me take us out of hell, because this is also on stream for anyone wondering, and like listen to this on like Spotify. We are streaming this on our YouTube channel. You can catch us on YouTube streaming at sometime. I don't
www.com/theweebcrew.
Usually like Sundays at like 8:30. Sometimes maybe Saturday, any day of the week, honestly. You know, we don't. The streams just happen. Anyway, so this article was posted on Bloomberg a couple days ago called Sony's Crunchyroll finds its early lead in anime under attack. Disney and Netflix are expanding in the popular. No, wait, no, why am I reading the subtitle? Blah, 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 blah. It's by Cecilia D'Anastasio and Takashi Mochizuki. Yeah, so if you want to, there will be a link in like the YouTube description. There'll probably be a link in the podcast description if you want to like read it for yourself, because it's an interesting read. And Mumi, did you read the article?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Why do you keep asking this as if I haven't read it?
Well, because you were saying as you were editing the thumbnail for this stream, like, yeah, I haven't finished reading it yet. I've been like reading and editing this thumbnail, and it's like
I got like halfway. It's only like it's not that long.
It's
of
not.
Article,
it's not
okay.
A long article for context. It's a pretty. Okay, as I'm scrolling down, it looks kind of long, but it's not. It's like maybe like 10 minutes tops. And if you struggle to read for more than 10 minutes, you're probably not old enough to be on, like watching this or listening to this, honestly.
They just say your attention span is 1 minute for every year you are old.
That's a goddamn lie. we're not going to read the article verbatim, by the way. That would be incredibly boring, and I don't know, I feel like that's like the equivalent of like watching a YouTube video on stream and like just stopping every couple sentences to like, oh, we gotta stop and commentate or whatever. No, we'll talk about the article, we'll pull quotes from the article, because there's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about here, and it goes into a number of different topics that we've discussed before on stream in various ways. And it's interesting to see like some stuff that we've just kind of been saying just based on our own sort of like subjective experiences and observations kind of be verified by people who are like looking at like the data and stuff rather than like interacting with like the anime community directly.
Makes me feel validated.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, let me see. There's like a specific part here right at the start. Yeah, here we go. There's growth in casual anime viewers, but not core anime fans, said Orina Zhao, research manager at Ampere Analysis, which follows the media and entertainment businesses. Those people tend to watch it on Netflix or Amazon Prime, which are more mainstream. And like, I mean, how many times have we talked about this on stream? Like, this idea
not
that,
enough
like,
apparently.
Yeah, I mean, so because we've said a lot that like, especially since the pandemic, really, anime has like really blown up and become mainstream. But it's not so much that all anime has become mainstream, but rather anime on specific platforms and just kind of as a whole, specific anime are like really, really popular in the mainstream. Whereas, you know, for your average seasonal anime, even. So we're not talking about things like Dandadan, for instance. We're talking about like what's like an average show that we watched this season, Mumi? We watched like 20.
Puniru?
Puniru. No, Puniru is below average, if I'm gonna be honest. Not even like
it
not
is even above like people average, who, all right. That is no, hot, people, some no, high people who IQ.
Even follow, people who like are dedicated seasonal followers didn't even watch Puniru because they are cowards.
Absolute cowards.
Have you
I don't know, fucking refer to my anime list, I guess.
Yeah, hold on. Goddamn, let me pull up anime list. See, what's like, I've already forgotten like half. I got a Maosama 2099 would be like an average show, honestly.
ReZero.
You ask someone.
Blue Box.
You ask, what?
Blue Box.
Yeah, even Blue Box. That's a Shonen Jump adaptation, and like I feel that's not really like that's on Netflix too, and that's still not even like a really big thing. So stuff that's on like Crunchyroll, like a lot of those seasonals on Crunchyroll, are not really breaking into like mainstream appeal. They're not seeing like that big mainstream success that, you know, is something that Netflix can obviously bring to the table, like we've seen with like Dandadan, which was on Crunchyroll, but we'll get to that in a bit. Scott Pilgrim, obviously, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, Devilman Crybaby, a lot of those shows. Many of them animated by Science Saru, interestingly enough. Got to see mainstream success, whereas it, you know, you look at something like Eizouken. Eizouken is also done by Science Saru. Came out during the pandemic, but was not on Netflix, but was on Crunchyroll, and that is significantly. The opening was certainly a bit of a meme, but it did not really catch on like those other shows did.
No.
And that's because Netflix is able to really like just capture that very casual audience because they're not anime specific. When you're an anime specific streaming service like Crunchyroll, you are going to cater to people who are much more dedicated anime fans. And that's something that they seem to resent in a lot of ways that you can kind of glean from, even though they don't say it outright, you kind of glean it from the article.
Yeah, it does kind of reek that they have some sort of contentment for the people that are actually consuming their product.
Well, it's interesting because Crunchyroll was bought out by Sony a couple of years ago, and Funimation was bought out by Sony well before that. And when Crunchyroll was bought out by Sony, everyone basically expected that there was going to be a merger between Crunchyroll and Funimation, which did eventually happen. But the way it happened was interesting because the Crunchyroll brand is obviously a lot bigger than the Funimation brand. But because Funimation was basically with Sony for much longer, they basically kept the brand, but then started replacing like executives at Crunchyroll with Funimation staff. And the article basically talks about there's like a sort of conflict basically happening between like, you know, the executive C-suite people at Crunchyroll who have like their origins in Funimation, and then like, you know, your average Crunchyroll employee who has maybe been with the company well before Sony ever acquired Crunchyroll. Which it's not good to say the least. And it begs the question of, and it's interesting to talk about this in the light of, gosh, literally this week still, but it's like two big news stories about Crunchyroll this week. Because earlier, not Crunchyroll, sorry, Sony specifically, Sony bought a 10% stake in Kadokawa. So they're, and a lot of people, obviously people talk about like, you know, the video game angle, stuff like that. I believe Kadokawa owns like FromSoft. So people are like, oh no, is Sony going to start fucking up like Elden Ring and stuff like that? But it also suggests a degree of what's known as vertical integration within the anime industry under Sony, where Arakawa obviously publishes a lot of light novels. Light novels are a very booming business to adapt into anime, and then they also own the platform to distribute anime internationally as well. So I don't know, maybe then we'll also see, and maybe they already have, Sony has bought up like anime studios or something like that, and they'll just start owning the whole pipeline, basically.
I don't know. I've never really... It is an interesting implication as far as on the Sony side, because it does have like broader like implications as far as like games and their streaming, like... I'm surprised they don't have this. Does Sony have their own streaming service yet?
I don't think so. If they did, it probably just like flopped, honestly.
I feel like everyone else has just made a streaming service.
I feel like Sony's MO is more so to just like buy up the competition rather than try to compete with them directly.
Yeah. They are fucking huge.
They are a massive corporation. I mean, that's basically what the idea with Crunchyroll was. Like, they obviously owned Funimation, but Funimation was not able to compete with Crunchyroll in the streaming market. So you just buy, and then you just buy Crunchyroll, basically. It's like, oh, okay. And I guess that's how the business world works. It may not necessarily have been a good purchase, though, based on this article.
How does Crunchyroll even work? You pay $5 as an anime version of YouTube. I mean, it's just like
$15.
I'm pretty sure it's like $10.
You pay a certain amount. You pay your pound of flesh for your streaming service, and then you get to watch not all anime, not even all anime airing at a season, a decent portion. Certainly, you won't be like starving for anime to watch. A questionable video player and questionable subtitles, isn't it wonderful? And you're supporting the anime industry, guys. That's the key point. Yeah, you're supporting the anime industry and not a company with questionable business practices that, and if I'm remembering correctly, there was a scandal again just a couple months ago.
Where a voice they're stealing actor, people's mail.
Yeah, they have voice as like some like voice actor. I forget their name. They were getting like fan mail, and then people at Crunchyroll were just opening it and like reading it, or like or passing it around the office and stuff. And it's like, what the fuck? $10. What's the appeal? That's a great question. I couldn't tell you, honestly, which
I feel like we've talked about this before, but like Crunchyroll's always had like an inferior product to what you could get on piracy platforms.
Oh, yeah. 100. Well, that's kind of the thing. You look at like a platform like Spotify, for instance. Spotify has done immense damage to music piracy. It's not. Before Spotify, music piracy was way more prevalent. After Spotify, I mean, people still do it, but there's a lot of people who don't. And it's also captured a wide market of people who just didn't pirate music before. They just listened to like CDs, but now they just listen to like Spotify.
Yeah.
And Spotify was able to do that by having a lot. I mean, we've talked about this before. They had have a lot of the music that you would really, really want to listen to. There aren't these exclusivity agreements that you usually see with like streaming services like Netflix, for example, or Crunchyroll for that matter, you know, where an anime will just only be on Crunchyroll. Except Dandadan. Dandadan is on Crunchyroll. It's on Netflix. And I believe G Kids has the theatrical rights to it. So, and probably also just other physical media.
Yeah, that's why they didn't want to promote it on Crunchyroll, apparently.
Yeah, so I guess we'll read probably one of the most damning parts of the article here. Let me see if I can find it. God, that was like so... That was so fucking cringe to read with how petty it was. Yeah, here we go. In the past year, he is referring to Marcus Gardemann, who is senior vice president of, I believe, marketing. It doesn't say in the article what specifically, but I believe it's marketing since they talk about marketing. So senior vice president of marketing. He has angered both Toei and Toho, according to current and former employees. In July, for example, Toei representatives were underwhelmed at Crunchyroll's concert for the hit anime hit One Piece held on. Oh, sorry. There was a concert for One Piece held on the San Diego Bay during Comic-Con. I'm guessing during San Diego Comic-Con. The signature ship from the program sailed by, but it wasn't lit up, so many of those in attendance couldn't see it. Gardemann oversaw the event. And then, in October, Gardemann sent an email to staff, seen by Bloomberg, asking them not to promote the important Toho title, Dandadan. Which almost certainly is a result of Crunchyroll not having an exclusivity license over it, and therefore they don't have as much of an incentive to promote it over things that they do have an exclusivity license over. Because, you know, a lot of people are just going to watch it on Netflix. Granted, what are they losing? Like, is the mindset that like, oh, because people are going to be able to watch it on Netflix, they're not going to pay for our streaming service they don't need to pay for our streaming service in order to watch Dandadan. When in reality, I think that the way most people probably think about this is, I'm just not going to watch Dandadan. So, yeah. And of course, Toho being like the head rights holder when it comes to this, at least for the anime and its distribution, they obviously have an incentive then to put it on as many platforms as possible rather than maintain this exclusivity deal. So
it's interesting because it kind of reminds me of like Netflix's problem.
Mm-hmm.
Where originally Netflix was like the streaming platform, right? Like you got Netflix, you got fucking programs from various different publishers, different channels, whatever. And then as it kind of was successful, it got kind of broken up. And people are like, oh, I'm going to bring my successful properties to my streaming service. Yeah, it's basically cable again.
Yeah, they cut out the middleman. And now we have all these different competing streaming services. And it's like, well, fuck, if I'm paying for all of them, now I'm just paying for like an exorbitant cable cost.
Yeah. I feel like it does make the same thing's kind of happening with Netflix now, or not Netflix, sorry, Crunchyroll now, where like you get like a Netflix that's kind of getting into the market. They're taking some titles.
Yeah.
I guess there's not been a lot. They've kind of like fucked their competition here. What was the last like major comp, like not piracy competition from Netflix or Crunchyroll?
Funimation.
Was it Tubi?
No. I mean, Funimation was their competition, is the thing.
Wasn't there another one?
There's like a High Dive, but High Dive has High Dive has a comparatively small market share. I think there's a chart in here. Maybe I'm wrong. No, I think I saw this chart somewhere else on Twitter. Maybe I'll pull it up in a minute. But it was basically going over like the market share that like each of these corporations have. And I mean, Crunchyroll is like just overall way smaller than Netflix. So they're just going to capture a smaller market share because there are way more just super casual anime fans who do not give a fuck about what is airing season to season. They just care about what's on Netflix, and they will watch it because it is on Netflix and that is what they are paying for. Whereas, you know, Crunchyroll is a streaming service that is dedicated to like, what I would say are more hardcore fans, quote unquote, as cringe as it is to phrase it like that. But they've not really done a good job at cultivating that audience, as we have certainly seen with the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. I can't wait for that
kinda,
this year.
They kind of like put their eggs in the basket. Like they're trying to do like get these big names, and like they're losing to like Netflix, right? Like they lost, like the article talks about how they lost JoJo. JoJo's a Netflix thing now. And you have like Toho and with Dandadan's trying to kind of do their own thing with G-Kids.
Toho bought out G-Kids, so now they have a direct line to distribute their own works internationally. Mm-hmm. At least in theaters and with physical releases. And we've already seen that Toho is become relatively confident when it comes to distributing those their own stuff by themselves overseas. We saw that with Godzilla Minus One. Mm-hmm. Godzilla Minus One was a resounding international success for them.
Oh yeah.
And probably was also maybe like a motivator for them to then buy G-Kids, because it's like, all right, there's clearly a lot of money to be made here in this international market. So yeah, they're kind of just getting, I mean, the article summarizes it rather humorously with this like image they have of like the Crunchyroll mascot girl fighting against these like eyeball monsters of Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon Prime.
I don't even know. I don't know if I mean, it's silly.
I don't know if I agree with this framing.
It's funny that she has a katana.
And their shield is the logo.
I don't agree with the framing that Crunchyroll is somehow like sympathetic in the situation. It's kind of like you kind of just been an asshole in this space the whole time. Right. Like if they were like a legit, like if they were a pretty good company, and like you had these bigger streaming sites kind of closing in on them, I could agree with this. But the fact that they've been like kind of just as fucking asshole in this space, it's like good fucking riddance. I don't give a shit.
They've been assholes. They've been rather hostile to competition when it comes to even like physical media. Like they own Right Stuff now, so Right Stuff is just the Crunchyroll store. Obviously, they burned a lot of people who were on the Funimation streaming service, and a lot of the anime that were available on Funimation streaming service were just not made available on Crunchyroll. So they've kind of dug their own graves when it comes to a lot of public perception of them, between stuff like that, all the bad press, all of just, again, just the way they present themselves as a company. A lot of the times it's like, who are you marketing yourselves to? Because for a giga casual anime fan, they're just going to stick with like what's on Netflix and they're going to watch what's there.
Your market base is the hardcore people that you're going to be a niche market, right? It kind of reminds me of like what I've heard, Robert Woodhead kind of talked about with like Anime Ego and his kind of like modus operandi for that.
Yeah.
Like you're appealing to like a niche market. So like you should kind of make the best product possible for that niche in a way that builds goodwill, right?
This is something that Animego understands, Discotech understands. That's why these companies have been around for quite a while. Why they've managed, you know, not to be as large as their competition, but certainly outlast them.
They're not part of the revolving door of fucking big company that just collapses under the weight of itself.
Yeah. So you can see this here where it says Crunchyroll's internal growth plan includes an initiative called 25 by 25, meaning 25 million subscribers by the end of 2025. The goal, the company has said in its internal documents, is to give a large enough base of subscribers to compete for new shows with more mainstream services such as Netflix and Warner Bros. Discovery's HBO, basically fucking HBO Max. I'm not saying the fucking mouthful title or just saying Max because that's a lame ass name. Which I don't know, that just kind of strikes me as hubris, if I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, it would certainly give them more of a bargaining chip, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you're really fighting an uphill battle. It's a similar phenomenon to what I've seen with GameStop over the years. Where have you been at a GameStop recently?
Well, not recently, but like in the last like year and a half, probably.
Have I told you my like conspiracy theory with GameStop? That no. I think it's like a drug running front by now.
What?
Yeah. Because like you go into GameStop, you go into any goddamn GameStop in the country, and it's like empty. Like 7 out of 8 hours of the day, just completely fucking empty. And I'm just thinking to myself while I'm in there by myself, I mean, like, it'd be a great place just to like run drugs, honestly, because they're everywhere. There's like a GameStop every like 25 miles, it feels like. So you have a good distribution network, and, you know, you just put the drugs in the case and you buy your drugs at GameStop.
You put it in like the bargain bin games no one's gonna buy, sell for like $60.
The shitty third party Nintendo Wii games. But if you go in there like nowadays, like they've really tried diversifying their market. Yeah, they've become FYE mini in a lot of ways because, and I think this is something Crunchyroll is also kind of trying to do, where they realize that they're not going to hit their like investor goals by just appealing to like, you know, a more niche anime fan market. So instead, what they're doing is they're kind of like diversifying. You know, you go to GameStop now and it's like there's like a whole wall of like Funko Pops and anime figures, like pop culture bullshit everywhere.
I would say like half the store last time I went, it felt like was just figures and Funko Pops and shit.
Yeah.
I feel like they don't even have the old games anymore. Like, I remember at one point in time, like they went back to like PS2 era, I think with like the PS4. Right, they went back to like PS2 games, DS games. You had some Game Boy Advance games, like in a case. And they just completely like got rid of all of that. Now it's just like, I think it might go to the PS3 era. It might not even go that far.
This will require me to go into a GameStop, and I've not been in a GameStop in probably over a year at this point.
There's not really any point in going to, like, sometimes really, I'll go.
That is kind of the where the comparison falls apart. There's like, there's not really a reason to go into GameStop anymore apart from, no. I don't know, you have like a 10-year-old kid and they're just bothering you. So you're like, fuck it, go wild. I need a break.
I never, Whereas, even as somebody that likes buying like physical games, I never really went into, like, I would go on occasion just to see if I could find like Demon Souls or something physical in like a good condition that I wanted to buy. But like even then, there are better options than GameStop.
You'll probably also just get better service going like a local game store, honestly.
Yeah, not really a point.
Whereas, you know, with Crunchyroll, you know, at least as far as legally watching anime, they are the only place you can watch a lot of stuff because they have those exclusivity licenses. Which an interesting thing that they point out in this article is that just one of those licenses is like millions of dollars, mind you. And that basically can just cover an anime's entire budget. So that would also, you can probably also directly link the success and growth of Crunchyroll to the number of anime airing per season, because holy shit, there's a lot of money coming in now. from these international markets. That's what like Toshi Okada like talked about, where it's like not really being split up among like these different anime. So instead, it's just like make more anime. You know, like, oh no.
Yeah, I don't really know what the solution would be, just in a general sense, because it's like you're not really the amount of people that are going to be watching like seasonal anime and paying attention in a way that like would be conducive for making money for Crunchyroll.
Yeah,
is not something you can really like force to go up. Like, it doesn't matter how much marketing you're going to do. Most people are going to be like, oh, I'm going to go check out 20 shows this season out of the fucking blue, right? Like,
there is a way to cultivate that market, I'd say, but
a bit more. I don't know if there's like a way you can do it in like it's not the same as like I'm gonna advertise Don to Don and get more people to watch Don to Don, right?
Yeah,
like you could keep advertising fucking the Notorious Talker, or what is the strongest or whatever the fuck that show was. That doesn't mean a lot more people are gonna go watch it, because like there's no word of mouth. Like, yeah, you're not like your platform, like, oh yeah, we have this show on our streaming service, but people are like, who cares?
I mean, at that point, you know, you just basically need to engage in astroturfing, which I will put fucking money on that. Like, that is something Netflix has engaged in.
Oh, definitely.
Like, yeah, 100%. It's like, hey, can you talk about this and generate hype for it? It's like, yeah, sure, fuck it, why not? I don't care. It might probably just be interesting. Insert image of Nokatan here. But I mean, it touches into a topic that we talked about a fair amount on the stream, which is the inevitable collapse. Come on, guys, it's gonna happen next year. The anime industry's gonna collapse. No, it won't. And here's why. For the anime industry to collapse at this point, I think it's also just a matter of the streaming industry to basically collapse. And the streaming industry is not going to collapse unless you have a rather large recession in which a lot of people start making like less money, and people get laid off, and then they, you know, need to start engaging in belt tightening, and those streaming services are going to be the first thing to go, most likely. Then you're going to see like a collapse in the streaming market. Then you're probably going to see like an additional collapse in the anime industry as well. So that's what we saw. We saw something similar in like 2008 with the global recession, where you look at like the graphs of the income the anime industry was making in like for several years after 2008, and it was significantly less than what they were making in the mid 2000s.
I mean, we are short of something like that.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, we are in kind of a place that like it could, like, there's definitely a path where it could happen. Much more so than just like randomly trying to predict it back in like 2017, right?
Yeah. What if Japan collapses? The yen is pretty. Yeah, there could be just a general economic collapse in Japan. But
yeah,
even and this is something we'd probably be best talking about like someone who is like more, who has their finger on the dying pulse of the industry, who's like you know, putting a kink in the industry's IV bag or something. Outsourcing, that's a big question here, where like there's a trade-off, I guess, when it comes to like the yen being so weak, because on one hand, the yen being really, really weak means that these like licensing agreements that they're getting for millions of dollars are technically going to be worth more. But at the same time, that also means outsourcing becomes more expensive, right? I have seen directors on Twitter talk about outsourcing contracts, which were determined years ago before the yen got so weak, are now ludicrously expensive because of the position the yen is in right now. Yeah. So It's a bit of a precarious position. I guess maybe what you could see is that because the yen is so weak, maybe these streaming services that are also going to start negotiating lower contract costs as a result, especially if they really start, if they start failing to, meet these subscriber goals, like 25 by 25 or whatever fucking stupid slogan that they come up with next, whatever their 5-year plan is under their Stalinist executive board.
Does the article actually say how many subscribers they're at, by the way?
I think that it says they're at about 15 million.
Oh, so they're going to like almost double their subscriber count in 1 year.
Yep. I mean, they have seen pretty like ludicrous growth over the past several years. But then it's like you see that ludicrous growth. You see that like exponential, that curve going up. And you're like, all right, it's just going to continue. I'm a wealthy venture capitalist. Let's let it ride. And it's like, no, that's not how this works. And we'll probably come back to this in March when we get to the next anime industry report for 2023. When we see the 2023 data, I'd be willing to bet that we actually see just overall less growth in the anime industry in 2023 compared to prior years.
Yeah, it's not like it's exponential every that is the funny thing with like corporations and like shareholders, all this every time it has to be like, oh, we're definitely going up, guys. Things are looking up. We're
guys, the line is going up.
It's
a bull like, market, bitch. Let's go.
The minute it looks like it's slowing down, all of a sudden just the line goes down.
See, you could see it, you can read that they're chasing that in the article where what does it say? Crunchyroll is expanding into new markets, including India, to draw potential long-term subscribers. The service is now available there for about $1 a month, price that is likely too low to be profitable, according to 5 current and former employees. So in order to even like hit those like metrics, what they're doing is basically like trying to create loss leaders in other markets. And it's like, what are you doing? I mean, I'm sure they're doing their best to like satisfy, you know, their like shareholders, you know, stakeholders, interested parties, whatever.
And there is a like valid kind of strategy with that, where it's like you get your foot in the door, yeah, and then people kind of are familiar with your product and then will be more willing to spend money with it.
I mean, that's why a lot of people like still have Crunchyroll subscriptions. Is like, you go before the pandemic, what was it like? $5, $7, something like that. It was really damn cheap.
I want to say it was like $5.99.
Yeah, and then they just increased it over time, and you know, started adding in things like advertisements and stuff like that, because you know they need to hit those quarterly report benchmarks. Which are, of course, set by people who, let's just be frank, they don't know anything about the fucking anime industry. They just see they just see the dollar signs, basically.
They don't care about anime. They care about money.
Yeah, which is, that is their job at the end of the day. But I think we talked about this during the when we bitched and moaned about the Crunchyroll Anime Awards, where it's like, if you can have someone who is simultaneously like, you know, like a very smart business person, but then also at least somewhat in tune with the anime industry, particularly in international markets, you know, like beyond just like a data point, like they are somewhat familiar, like engaged with the culture. I feel like that makes for an overall better employee, especially in like an executive decision making position, than someone who just knows about like the numbers and the money. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong in saying that. And this is just kind of me like coping and seething. But
I mean, I don't, it makes, because like if you think about any other industry, right? Like if someone has their finger on the pulse of the industry in general, you're more likely to make like good business decisions overall. Because you like, if even if you're on like a national scale, you at least like say you're in like construction or, landscaping or something, you know, something like in that field, you're more likely to have growth in a place like Texas than you are in a place like Middle America. Like,
yeah,
so those are kind of things you kind of have to be aware of.
And I mean, the article paints a narrative, and you know, let's just engage in like basic reasonable skepticism of what you read in an article, but they basically paint a narrative that Crunchyroll is doing fairly well in terms of management and growth and development. Basically, until even after Sony bought them, but when Sony merged them with Funimation, they had a lot of these Funimation people come over and basically, like, you know, take the reins, take the calm, as it were. And I was trying to, let me see if I can find like the exact point in the article where it comes across like they just kind of not only like have conflict with like your like regular line workers at Crunchyroll, but just like anime culture, like the fandom and just anime itself. Like, I think they flat out say like they give off the vibe, according to like I assume these former and current employees that are like their sources for this article, who are unnamed as they should be. Yeah, here we go. Current and former or former employees describe Crunchyroll's new management, primarily from Funimation, as out of touch with employees and the anime fans the company once prioritized. Some executives write off anime as kids' cartoons, they said, and resist hiring job candidates who describe themselves as fans. Customers weren't too happy either. Some were furious when Crunchyroll announced that digital copies of anime that they had purchased through Funimation wouldn't survive the transition into the new platform. Which is like...
Wait, those are kind of two different points. I don't know why they put those together in this article.
Yeah, I don't know why that... I don't necessarily know why that was like a same paragraph, but... Yeah, you do. I mean, what it goes to show is like, okay, these people who are now currently running the show are they're out of touch. Essentially, they don't know or don't care about how certain things will upset people or affect the perception of their company. You know, maybe they just think that like, you know, any bad press is like just doesn't matter, and they'll still just continue to see growth. Which, I mean, they certainly can like. You know, drama and controversy, like that male controversy, for instance. That's obviously like in the English speaking sphere when it comes to that. But if Crunchyroll is then focused on, you know, growing a market more so in like India, Latin America, etc., that drama probably won't necessarily translate over because of that language barrier. So maybe they're thinking like, okay, well, yeah, it might be bad there, but we're seeing a lot more growth here with these people who can't speak English.
I mean, let's be real. If they haven't received pushback from like some of the shit they've done previously, like I think it was around 2014 that I think it was Dies who did that whole like big expose on did a write up on like how Crunchyroll was throttling like the bit rates of
a lot of their back catalog. Yeah.
Where you're sitting, essentially you're paying more to have access to their back catalog, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
basically. Or you're getting a worse service.
Yeah, it was like, I think like 66% worse. Or like they throttled it like to as like a third of the quality or something like ridiculous. And it's just like, what the fuck? Like if that kind of thing couldn't gain traction when it's literally like talking about the quality of the product that you're receiving, they basically would have to like infringe on some sort of like workers' rights or something. Mm-hmm. In like a larger way than even like just opening their mail, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, there have been stories for years now about Crunchyroll like translators being underpaid.
Oh yeah,
stuff like that. But I think that they are just banking on people not really caring.
But a lot of people, to some extent, they are right.
I don't think
a lot of people aren't going to inform themselves on this shit. Like,
yeah.
You're just going to go. Someone that has a Netflix subscription is just going to go watch Squid Games on Netflix. They're not going to sit there and fucking research. Like,
what's this Crunchyroll? My kid is asking me to get this Crunchyroll thing. Okay. And then just do that.
Yeah. Or if you're the person subscribing for it.
Yeah.
You're just going to like, oh, I want to watch Demon Slayer on Crunchyroll or whatever. And you're not. That's the only place to watch it. Almost
certainly, though, they're going to like start like in these emerging markets like that they're trying to like worm their way into like India, for instance. They're almost certainly going to have like their own like they're going to do stuff that's going to piss off people in that market as well. I would guarantee it.
Yeah. It'll happen eventually.
Yeah. Will it matter in the long term? Probably not, but then again, in the long term, we're all dead. No, in the long term, it's like I still don't think that they're going to hit like the metrics that they really want in order to satisfy investors. And I tweeted about this like yesterday or something, where I wonder, I'm willing to venture to guess that this is probably also the reason that Girls Band Cry did not get picked up. for streaming until like well after it was over, and even then it went on Amazon Prime where you can like buy it like for like digital essentially.
Right.
Because Girls Band Cry, obviously produced by Toei, and I could almost certainly see a similar situation to like Dandadan essentially, where maybe Toei wanted not to have an exclusivity deal with Crunchyroll. Maybe they wanted to maybe put it on Crunchyroll, but then also Netflix possibly. Something along those lines. In any case, bad relationships between Toei and Crunchyroll then basically results in it just not being anywhere for the longest time. And it kind of just ends up flying under a lot of people's radar as a result of that, even though it's a really good show. I'd be willing, obviously I have nothing concrete to say, but that's like just kind of my conjecture, my educated guess, reading this article, that because it's a Toei show, there may have been some conflict there that just resulted in it not being put off on Crunchyroll.
I guess the interesting question is like, what does that mean exactly for this space? Like, it say hypothetically that Crunchyroll does just like completely goes tits up.
Yep.
Obviously someone will come in to fill the niche. Like, that's not like just, oh no, there's no way to legally stream anime anymore. Someone will come in, but like, it'll take us some time for it to reach the point that Crunchyroll's at now, right?
Here's my hypothesis, I guess. What we're what I think we'll see going forward is Crunchyroll is going to fail to meet investor expectations, and they are going to then have to, in order to see the returns that investors want, they either need to make more money, which, you know, they're seeing diminishing returns on, or they start lowering their expenses. And what that could mean is then spending less money to license anime.
And as a result, you'll start seeing like a Puniru or something will not be licensed.
It might not be licensed. And eventually, I think we'll just stop seeing stuff because these licensing agreements pay for the entire show. Essentially, we may just then see either a stagnation in the number of anime being produced per year, or even a decline in that if there ends up being less international money being funded into the industry. Of course, Crunchyroll is not the only factor in this equation. There is a very large market that Crunchyroll just doesn't really have access to. Mumi, what is that market? Pop quiz.
The Chinese market?
Yes. obviously, the Chinese market is ludicrous as well. We could reasonably rope the entire Chinese market in and then like compare it to entire continents like North America or like Central or South America, India. So it's like that's a massive market as well. And Crunchyroll just doesn't really have access to, but they're also sending their own money. But certainly a decline in money from Crunchyroll would overall mean less money coming into the industry as a result.
What is the timeline? Maybe we'll see
less anime just come about through that, you know.
What is the timeline? Do you think this is like a 5-year kind of thing?
Well, it's 25 by 2025. If we then start seeing like reductions in the amount Crunchyroll is spending on licensing anime by the following year, let's say 2026, then I think we could even start seeing ripple effects of that coming in 2027, 2028, certainly by the end of the decade would be my guess, basically.
Mm. Which I do wonder if this will kind of encourage like people to get more involved as far as like fan subbing and shit again.
Maybe.
Because like
maybe
a lot, kind of what has happened is since Crunchyroll has been buying more and more market share as far as like bringing over more licensing and properties and stuff, they have kind of replaced fan subbing because people just like rip the subs. So like there isn't like fan sub groups that are actively fan subbing, like Puniru, for example.
Are you thinking that we'll see maybe like what we saw with like Girls Band Cry essentially, where like,
maybe I'll return to that. Yeah. Where it's like, cause like now, like obviously you have stuff like Precure. I don't think Precure Did they ever start streaming the new Precure on Crunchyroll, or is it just like one season? I think they did.
I have not the faintest idea, because I neither pay attention to Precure, nor do I pay for Crunchyroll.
I don't pay enough attention to Crunchyroll to. I do remember like them making a big deal that they were bringing Precure to Crunchyroll, but I don't remember if that was just like some seasons or if that was like the newest season as it was airing or if that was just that one season as it was airing. But I know for the longest time that you had like active subgroups that were doing like Precure stuff like that, but like a lot of subgroups kind of stopped because Crunchyroll was just so fast. And it's just like, yeah, you can improve on it. Like you can do better typesetting. You can do karaoke subs. You can do maybe word things a little bit better, but like for the most part, it's just like,
but the scale of that.
Yeah. It's like, what is the point? Like, yeah, we don't need to.
I mean, arguably, and I wonder about this is Crunchyroll. And I think it was like Mike on like a Red Letter Media video basically described it as like a buffet essentially where, you know, they're licensing the majority, like, basically every show coming out in a season, with a couple exceptions, either because they're on other platforms that are just not getting picked up at all. How many people are watching those shows, though? Is it, you know, are they doing it because they think there's a market there, or are they doing it to keep the buffet stocked? Where, you know, you have your buffet. There are certain things in the buffet people like more than others. Some people, stuff people just completely fucking ignore, but it's nonetheless there because it's a buffet. You have all these options. And even if you only take like the same thing from the buffet every time, you have that like illusion of choice, essentially. And then
you will get people that do like the things that are like the less chosen option of the buffet. And then they are kind of sticking around for the other things as well, because you have the thing they want over there.
Yeah.
I.e., someone come like, oh, this is the only place that's streaming Puniru. I might as well just watch my Dandadan on here too.
I wonder if Crunchyroll has like a sort of recommendation algorithm as well for where like it tracks what their users watch, what they're interested in, and then recommends them other stuff based on that. And they basically, you know, fall into like a pipeline essentially. Like it's like YouTube or like Netflix kind of does that. I have no idea. Again, I don't use Crunchyroll. Someone who used Crunchyroll, please let me know if that's the case. Is there a market in America for negative positive angler? I mean, shit, probably not, honestly.
It only has 40,000 people on my anime list.
That's not great. Especially because it's a really good show. One of my favorites of the season.
It was a really well done original anime, honestly.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just kind of there just to be like, you pay for Crunchyroll. It's like $15 a month, but you get access to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of anime that, and you will watch 10 of them. Like statistically speaking, and you will watch 10 and then forget that you are paying for this subscription.
Clearly Crunchyroll was trying to do this whole strategy of like, you know, they'll have a paper tiger kind of approach, where it's just like they have all these like back catalog and they're going to like lower the bit rate to the point that they're not even there anymore.
You won't be able to watch them. I think Crunchyroll even has pages for anime that aren't even on their streaming service. Like if we pull up like pictures. Yeah, like literally just like that, basically. And it's like, it's not here, but you can certainly read about it. It does exist. And like,
look at all these anime pictures we're going to have you scroll past to get to the newest season of Demon Slayer.
Yeah. And I think they're also just doing like, I mean, I remember when a lot of people were pissed off at Crunchyroll because they removed the comment section, which I wasn't even really aware that existed. But I guess Crunchyroll, to a certain extent, had cultivated their own kind of community there in that comment section. And then it's just like,
that makes sense.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, because like a lot of streaming, like even though like the piracy sites have like comment sections where people like leave a comment. It's like fucking the Pornhub comment section, right? Like you go it's scroll like, down.
Why would you? Are you paying too much to moderate it? Are you paying anything to moderate? What the hell is wrong with you? Why would you do that?
maybe it was like people calling him out for stuff, and so they were like hiding it. Like if people like, oh, this is like
negative, oh,
mistranslated, yeah. Or like, oh, you did this or X, Y, Z. It's just like, well, we don't need that on our platform. We don't need people looking into things and then potentially changing their subscription.
We don't need people. Yeah. And again, it's probably just like, you know, these fucking dumbass piggies will still pay for it anyway. And again, they're probably right. I think I would imagine that honestly, part of Crunchyroll's like model is like the idea that, you know, someone wants to get into anime, pay for Crunchyroll. They watch 10, 15 shows and then they stop watching anime forever, but they still keep that subscription going for like 2 years after the fact. And then they remember to cancel it. And like, oh yeah, what the hell is I paying for? I haven't watched any anime in years.
It happens a lot with like Amazon, I know. Like people will buy like Amazon Prime because they do like a trial, so they get free Prime shipping for a order, and then they just forget about it.
Let me see. Hold on. Does Crunchyroll have a free trial? Let's do some investigative journalism, guys. Oh no!
I want to watch Sanpei the Fisherman sometime. Fun fact: Negative Positive Angler does reference Sanpei the Fisherman. It also references My Fisher Diary.
Yeah,
the characters in that shot are all like kind of evocative of like characters from other fishing anime, which is kind of silly.
Here we go. 7-day free trial, baby. Stay 7 days. You can watch anime for free, and then you know you'll stop watching it, or you'll keep watching it and then stop and forget something went wrong. Uh-oh. What the fuck?
They know. They're on to us.
They're on to us. Oh my god. What else is in this? There's a lot of like funny stuff in this article. According to a survey of over 4,000.
My favorite part was down toward the end, where they're basically talking about how like their entire business strategy was to get people to start playing gacha games.
Oh god. Like other mobile games. Oh god. Fuck. Yeah. Oh Jesus fucking Christ.
Like, wow, what a terrible business.
What a terrible fucking business model. Holy shit. Yeah, there's like Crunchyroll Games, and it's like, again, that's what I was talking. That's, I think, that's what I meant to like get into when I was saying like diversifying, and I just like kind of like forgot about it because I was rambling about GameStop being a drug smuggling front. But
yeah, the fucking GameStop brain worms.
Which, by the way, if I'm right about that, let the record show I am in fact not suicidal.
Yeah, so, it's right there. Over the past 2 years, they shut down like comic. Yeah.
Crunchyroll management figured they could hook Crunchyroll subscribers on mobile games based on their favorite anime shows, like One Punch Man, according to three people familiar with the strategy. But that initiative has struggled. Over the past 2 years, three games have shut down, including one based on Princess Connect Redive, which, by the way, I believe that gacha game is actually fairly successful in Japan. It's still going. The anime was reasonably successful. But yeah, they just like completely flopped here in the US because you attach Crunchyroll's name to something and they're going, what the fuck?
Are you telling me that you can't transition your entire market base into an entirely different platform and make money off of them?
No, I mean, that's kind of the thing. It's like, you can. Not like this, though, where like, you know, we talk about like anime. Anime is like an advertisement for the manga. I don't fully agree with that, but it's certainly a business strategy that is at least engaged in. And I think that may have been their thinking here, where it's like, well, we don't really publish manga. That's Viz, and we can't buy Viz because it's owned by Shueisha and Shogakukan. So let's do video games. We're owned by Sony. Yeah, they're a video game company.
That strategy works for the publisher.
Yes.
Because it's like, this is my property. I'm going to post the anime onto broadcasting services, and then people will then see this property and then maybe engage with the game. There's not you're not middlemanning it where you're like, okay, I'm going to make a game based off of One Punch Man, and then buy the rights for One Punch Man to just like they already own the, like there's no. I'm like short circuiting. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like, and maybe that's again like the idea that I talked about earlier with like Sony purchasing a stake in Kadokawa, where like maybe they are trying to do that, where you have the light novel that Kadokawa publishes, then it gets licensed onto Crunchyroll, which Sony owns, and then you can buy both the anime and the light novel off right stuff, which no longer exists because it's now the Crunchyroll store. Maybe that's the idea. If so, that's a brave idea, as Tom Scott would say. Cotton.
Let's see how it pans out.
So we'll check back in about 6 years. They did buy. Oh, Crunchyroll did buy Viz Europe. Interesting. Over the past years, three games have shut down. While the company has launched four others, so it's just like. All right, come on, guys. If it just keep throwing darts. Last month, all the games except one brought in sales of less than $5,000 on the iOS or Android platforms, according to data from Sensor Tower. Although Crunchyroll invested a large sum in developing its own One Punch Man World game, the U.S. license for the show was snagged by Hulu. It is like hilarious. It's like they don't even own the show that's like promoting the thing. What are you doing? Yeah, because, I mean, One Punch Man is a really big property. You need to certainly pay more for in order to license it. And something like Hulu or Netflix is going to be able to outbid you. And they will if they think they can make money off of it still. So. Again, it's like, well, what do you do? Like, if you can't, if the big shows like your Don to Don or your One Punch Man or whatever the hell. Is getting picked up and put on other streaming services, and you're a smaller streaming service and you can't really like compete with what they pay for. What do you do? How do you market these other shows that don't necessarily have enough hype for them? And which I say, that's the fucking job of marketing. Maybe have a guy running your marketing division that isn't ruining business relationships with massive Japanese companies like Toei and Toho.
Maybe don't think that your audience is like just children.
Just children, right? It's your kids. You know,
you're being condescending to me. It's like, no, your audience is just not children. Like,
no.
Yeah, there are children in your audience, but that is not your audience. Like, that is not everybody in your audience. Like, what?
It's man children between the ages of 20 and 30 and 40.
The publishers in Japan know this. That's why they sell the horny figures.
Yeah, which you have then removed from your store. Good job. I mean, and I think that's like also kind of like the idea is like they're kind of like trying to like. Sanitize the image of anime. I mean, we see that with the anime awards, where it's like, what is anime about the anime awards visually? Is that any of the decor? No, it looks like just an award show. Oh, maybe like the trophy though is like, nope. The trophy is a fucking obelisk. It's a glass obelisk that looks like something that you would shove in your ass.
Oh my god. I think I saw one of those on Bad Dragon the other day.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, I need to see like the equivalent of like one guy, one jar, but it's like the Crunchyroll Award. Oh God. I don't want to see that person harmed. I just want to see the award go up their ass.
We're giving Crunchyroll shit, but to be fair, right?
All right.
We did just watch the video game awards.
No. The video game award, like the award for the video game awards looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, but the 75% of the video game awards is just E3.
Oh, well, that is true. That is true. At least the Crunchyroll Anime Awards is at least more of an award show than the Game Awards, which is a series of commercials.
I don't think award some shows
awards
are
interspersed. Which, I mean, I will certainly put money down that, like, people running the Crunchyroll Awards are seeing that, and they're like, Jeff Keighley guy, they have the right idea. Let's try and emulate that. Honestly, just fucking let Jeff run the country. It'll still be better. It won't have awful dubbing. It'll be in like a reasonable time zone when most of your target audience in the whole world is not like fucking asleep. They could cut costs by canceling the awards entirely. Well, no. Well, they could, because they would certainly cut costs, but I think that award show is also just kind of like to demonstrate. It's there for the investors. It's not there for the fans. It's there for the investors. You can clearly tell when they talk about, God, what was the one where like a guy was like, it was like a chef guy, and he was like talking about like anime inspires me. Anime inspires me or something.
How do you do that while then simultaneously thinking anime is for kids? You're literally having a chef talk about how anime inspires.
It's like a double thing. Like they think that like anime is just for kids, but they need to like convince investors that anime is for everyone. And I think like literally that may have been like the tagline for the show or something. Like anime is for everyone. Which, like, yeah, sure. You're doing a fucking dog shit job at like making that, like conveying that, though. It's like, you know what? And it reminds me of the bit in Otaku no Video where like the corporate guys take over the company in like the second episode. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And instead of them getting like overthrown like 5 minutes later, it's like, no, they're just here forever now.
Just here forever.
Yep. Which fucking sucks, honestly.
What do you think will happen to the Anime of the Year awards if Crunchyroll goes tits up?
It'll just stop being a thing. Or they're like, they will downscale it immensely and it'll go back to what it used to be. Remember what it used to be, where it wasn't this big award show and you had like tables and it was just like a bad set. Like you had like YouTubers
Jeff on the couch.
Yeah, Jeff doing stuff. Arcado
come out on the couch.
And they were all kind of like just
bring back the anime awards show casty couch.
Oh my god! Instead of having like athletes or like celebrities, really the only one who should be there is Megan Thee Stallion. She seems to be the only one who can work the crowd, and two seems to really, really like anime. Everyone else who comes on stage seems like they're like deer in the headlights. Get people who are used to being on stage, goddammit.
Bring out Snoop Dogg to promote his new Snoop Dogg music. Yeah.
No, they won't do that. Because like Snoop Dogg is too closely associated with weed.
And weed is pretty close to weeb, all right? Just turn that D around.
It's true. People do just think we're called the weed crew.
If we were stoners, we'd be the weed crew.
Hey, man. We're the weed crew. Yeah.
Will the weed crew present the 2030 Anime Awards? Did you see the name of this stream?
Wait. Say something. My fucking like earbuds just died. God damn it.
Hello?
No, okay, I'm good. I don't know why my earbuds just like cut out for a second. What the fuck?
Yeah, I think any chance we would have had of hosting any Anime of the Year award with Crunchyroll is we're just burning that bridge, I guess.
Oh yeah. I would assume it's rather like arrogant of us to assume you would ever be considered for that sort of thing.
I never even assumed that we were going to do it. That's why I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. It's like, well,
the question was if we were going to in 2030. It's like, if we ever got to a point we could have, it definitely is not happening now.
No. I mean, it would be interesting when we get like someone. This would never happen, but if we got someone who like worked at Crunchyroll, maybe like someone like really high up, and we just like got them on our podcast. And then all their investors would be like, why did you go on this racist anime podcast?
The
like,
racist I no anime. Why are you racist?
Subscribe to the Patreon to hear all the Patreon episodes where I just talk about like skull shapes or something.
That is not a thing that's on the Patreon.
No.
At least not our Patreon. I don't know if you started another one.
they probably don't like that we are critical of their company and their business practices and everything they stand for. You're just like, I don't know, you could be cool. Your Crunchyroll could like turn around its public image. Do I think it will? No. Why would you ever bet on something like that happening? It's a way smart. You're not good with your money if you are. It's a way smarter bet to just be like, yeah, shit's fucked and it's probably not going to get any better. Probably just going to keep getting worse.
Things will continue to degrade.
Nothing ever happens. Damn, this is a bad year for Sony, just like their Spider-Man universe. Yeah, I don't understand. Like, Sony is such a weird company to me because, like, Sony Pictures, they have Sony Pictures, which was routinely fucking up. I have been told, I would not know this, I'm not a gamer. I have not owned, like, a console that I would play in my television since about 2008, I think, like the Wii, and I think that's basically it. But I've been told the PlayStation 5, in fact, has no games.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It has zero games.
It has zero games, in fact. So Sony's like video game division, which has historically done pretty well, I think is also kind of like in not a great position. They're trying to make money off this expanding anime market to mixed success, I'd say. I don't know. I guess we need to like really like pour through like their like annual financial reports or something, which I don't know. Maybe that'd be interesting for a stream. Maybe we'll do that when we go over the anime industry report that comes out in a few months. But yeah. Is there anything else we want to talk about this article?
No, I think I've shit on Crunchyroll enough.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, to like, we'll read some stuff from chat. But to wrap up just like this whole topic, my prediction is basically that Crunchyroll will continue, obviously, to expand into like India and Latin America and do so, but still not really meet like investor expectations. And they'll start cutting costs and not spending as much money on licensing anime. So anime licensing costs will go down. They may still end up just licensing more and more anime. More anime very well could still be made, at which point we'll just see more outsourcing, probably more use of AI over the next few years as well. I feel like that's just going to be on the horizon and is a reality that we're just going to get smacked in the face with.
Or no concepts. And then, you know,
it'll get to the point where people won't notice, and when people stop noticing, people just won't care. And then yeah, when the global recession hits, everyone will die. Wouldn't that be nice?
It doesn't come through in an audio podcast, but like I'm just shifting my eyes back and forth like, what the fuck are you talking about?
this whole episode has basically just been you listening to my conspiratorial rants as I'm talking about like Pepe Sylvia.
If you want to spend, I mean, let's see. You're probably not far off with the things will continue, like with AI shit, because I feel like I remember there being a distinct drop in quality and like subbing when it got changed because of the Crunchyroll, because like,
yeah,
they didn't give a shit.
No.
They obviously aren't going to bother with like typesetting and, trying to make things kind of incorporate into the visuals where it's not like fucking
just, and I have noticed with like a lot of their shows that are not really like big flagship ones every season watching this is kind of like I think even in like Mega Pussy Angler,
yes,
there were like lines that were just translated very very weird, and It's like that's, it's like just off enough that it like catches my eye. And it's like either it's not being QC'd or, well, it's just not being QC'd. And it's either a person translating or it's an AI.
Yeah, I noticed like, I don't know if it's been more, but I have been noticing it more here in like the last year or so. We're like,
yeah,
someone will be like Okari or whatever the fuck, and they'll translate it to be like, great job, guys.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, that's literally not what they said, but I, you know, I guess it works.
And it may be the case that if like Crunchyroll starts spending less money on anime, we'll see something like Netflix or Hulu spend more money on anime. But because those are not anime centric platforms, I think they're probably just more content with just picking up a few, like having like a couple anime every season, because they're not expecting to like capture an anime only audience. You know, people like us who just primarily watch anime, they're catering much more towards people who just kind of watch anything. Like they watch primarily like regular like American TV and like movies and stuff like that. But then they also, you know, will watch maybe like a couple anime, like, you know, if it piques their interest, essentially. So I don't think we're going to see like Netflix getting every show of the season on their platform. I do wonder, too, if it's also just a matter of like, there was a headline from Kadokawa, maybe it was earlier this year or sometime last year, where they were saying they want to like just keep producing more and more shows every season. I want to say it was like 50 shows a season or whatever, which is fucking insane. Obviously, with, you know, Crunchyroll and Sony money, they can certainly finance it. Whether or not can they find the manpower soon, it won't matter with AI. So it's like, fuck. Yeah, every time we talk about industry stuff, it feels like it always just kept, we just kind of get negative, especially towards the end where it's like, yeah, this kind of sucks, doesn't it?
It's hard to be positive about this shit.
Like, well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like this thing where it's this conflict I have where I feel like I'm generally still pretty positive when it comes to like the overall like quality and how much I enjoy every anime coming out.
The content itself, yeah.
The content itself, but then it's like the industry conditions and the direction the industry is moving in. Even if necessarily doesn't make me like make more anime that I dislike, it's still, you watch it and you go, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.